Good morning, Five Forks Baptist Church family and everyone who is watching us online today. And across the Southeast, there are a lot of people watching online today. So it's great to have you with us. I was just reading this morning in Job 38:22. Job has this great verse where God is speaking to Job, and he says this. He says, "Have you entered into the storehouses of the snow?" So this idea that God has these storehouses of snow in heaven, and he essentially just doles it out on the earth as it is needed. And God must have thought that it was needed today. We are glad that you could join us. Hey, I wanted to let you know that we are recording one day before. The AV guys have graciously met me here in the church sanctuary, and we're going to go ahead and provide for you an online experience so that you can have a time of worship in your home and stay home and stay safe during this time of inclement weather. We're so glad that you're with us today. And as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to email me at tim@fiveforks.org, and we would love to share with you and talk with you however we can. I wanted to let you know too, as a pastor, let me just give you the facts. And since I've been here, we've never canceled service for inclement weather. So this is the first time this has happened since I've been here. But pastors always dread doing this because the regular worship flow gets disrupted, and those decisions people might make when they come sometimes get put off for a while, and also because the reality of it is many people, the giving never recovers from that week where they're gone. Now, I know you at Five Forks Baptist Church, and I am confident that that will not happen here. So I want to encourage you, if you want to give, first of all, today, if you want to, you can give online. You can go to fiveforks.org, just navigate up to the right-hand side of the page where it says give, push that button, and you can give your gift online. You can also mail it in to 112 Batesville Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29681, and it will get here. Or if you just want to hold that for next week when we are confident we will be back in person and won't have an inclement weather situation, then I want to encourage you to just go ahead and do that as well. But we're so thankful for your faithfulness in worshiping with generosity. Thank you again so much for joining us today, and it is our privilege to be able to provide for you the opportunity to worship the Lord at home. Bud Wilkerson was a Hall of Fame coach for the Oklahoma Sooners football team. He was asked by a reporter one time what contribution he thought college football and essentially televised football in general, what contribution he thought that had made to the overall physical fitness in the United States. And I think the reporter was a little bit stunned when Coach Wilkerson said he didn't think it had made any difference at all. And so the reporter asked him why, and I loved Bud Wilkerson's response. He said, "In a college football game, you have 22 men on the field desperately in need of rest, and 50,000 fans in the stadium desperately in need of exercise. Yo, you cannot get in shape by watching other people exercise." But in America today, sadly, Christianity has in some ways become a spectator sport. We go to a church service, we watch other people perform, then we evaluate their performance on the way home. A lot of people think that's all God wants or expects from them. Show up to a service, watch the show, critique the performance, and then come on back next week for the same thing again. But just like you can't get in shape by watching other people exercise, you cannot follow Jesus Christ by watching other people follow Jesus Christ. Biblical Christianity is not a spectator sport. It requires your personal participation. Now, if you recall, Scripture defines discipleship and sets the standard for it. A genuine disciple, remember our definition, is a follower, worshiper, and imitator of Jesus Christ. A follower, worshiper, and imitator. All through the Gospels, Jesus said these words, "You truly are my disciples if." And then he would give some form of action of a true disciple. So you become a disciple. Make sure you understand this. You become a disciple by believing the gospel. That's all. But you demonstrate you are a disciple by imitating Jesus. The evidence of your internal salvation can be found in your external work. Jesus was telling us that discipleship demands participation. Spiritual couch potatoes are not disciples of Jesus Christ. Sideline sitters are not disciples of Jesus Christ. True discipleship demands action, and it demands participation. Now, one of the evidences or the proofs of true disciples of Jesus is that they follow his example in being a servant. Jesus, the greatest man who ever lived, the God-man, he makes this amazing statement when he says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then he said, "Follow my example." Biblical Christianity is about people who have been transformed by grace and motivated to serve a God they can't see by serving people that they can see. And we find this principle all throughout the New Testament, but I want to draw your attention specifically to one passage that really crystallizes it well. If you have a Bible, it's in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, one of the great things about the online experience is if you didn't bring your Bible to your couch or wherever it is that you're sitting watching this, just pause it for a minute and you can go get it. So go get your Bible, come sit back down. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, as always, if you have a digital device, you received a link earlier today through social media or through your email where you can access a digital version of these notes that has that text in it. But if you do not own a Bible, if I'm talking to somebody who doesn't have a copy of God's Word, I want you to email me at tim@fiveforks.org, and I would love to get you a copy of the Word of God. It would be our privilege. We give away Bibles all the time here at Five Forks Baptist Church, and we'd love to give you a copy of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look in verses 10 and 11. Peter says this, "Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, it should be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And now that God has spoken to us through reading his word, let's speak with him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you have shown us in this series of getting back to basics. You've shown us what it means to be a true disciple. You didn't just leave us in the dark. You didn't just say, muddle through and figure out as best you can. You actually laid out very clearly in your word what a follower of Jesus is supposed to look like. And I pray that you'll help us today to see that and to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Three truths about discipleship and serving that I want you to see. If you downloaded a copy of the bulletin, you've got some blanks in that notes page on the back of it. Peter says every disciple of Jesus is, number one, equipped through grace to serve others. Equipped through grace to serve others. What does he say in verse 10? He says, based on the gift. Now that's an interesting word. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. That word gift and that word grace, Peter is actually making a play on words between those. The word gift is the word charisma. It's where we get our word charismatic. And it's from the root word for grace, which is the word charis. So it means free gift, or it means grace gift. The same words used in Romans 6:23 that says, for the wages of sin is death. So what Paul is saying in Romans 6, he says, if you want to go about salvation on your own terms, if you want payment for what you have done, the wages of sin is death. But then he has this great next phrase, but the free gift of God, charis, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says that there is a grace gift that you can receive. You accept Jesus Christ by turning from your sin and your own way of trying to make life work and trusting Jesus alone to save you. Your faith accepting God's gift is what saves you. You receive the gift of grace through faith in the perfect life, sacrificial death, and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. But God not only gifts you with saving grace at that moment, he also gifts you with serving grace at that moment. At the moment of salvation, God doesn't just make a way for you to go to heaven. He makes a way for you to serve him while you're down here on earth. Those serving gifts are called spiritual gifts. Just like your salvation is a free gift of grace received by faith, spiritual gifts are a gift of God's grace, and you use them by faith as well. So making disciples is a spiritual work that requires spiritual ability. Peter says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. So the grace gift that you receive is going to be used to build up the body of Christ around you. When you use your spiritual gift to serve others, you become an agent of God's grace. Our spiritual gifts are given to benefit other people. The word serve, where it talks about that, and it says, and I love it when it says the word serve with the varied grace of God. We'll talk about that in just a minute, but that word serve is the word where we get our word deacon. Now, in the New Testament, if you look at the creation of deacons, another phrase for deacon was essentially somebody who went and, if you look in Acts chapter 6, waited tables. So, in other words, they went and they helped individuals who were in need of help. So, we are God's spiritual waiters and servers in the world, you might say. Some of us have hors d'oeuvres. Some of us have salads. Some of us carry the selection of main courses. Some of us have desserts. Some of us fill drinks. Some of us have set the table. Some of us do the dishes. But we all have a role to play in serving. But I want you to know God is the chef. He's the one who provides the meal. He's the attraction. He's responsible for the results, so he gets all the glory. God has not called us to random acts of kindness. He's called us to a consistent life of service that's coordinated with other believers in the body of Christ. so that other believers can be made mature and we can multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. We have been gifted differently in order to serve effectively. So if you're going to function in an effective way, you have to be gifted differently. That's where that phrase comes in that Peter uses when he uses that great word, the varied grace of God. That word varied is a word that really means varicolor. It really means multiple shades, multiple colors. The multiple faceted grace of God is what he's saying. So God is telling you, he has given all sorts of gifts to his body so that all sorts of ministry can take place. But all of that ministry is coordinated through the head, which is Jesus Christ. You ever thought about something as simple as a pencil? I have one here. Did you know that no human being, no one human being knows enough in order to get this pencil into my hands? Not one human being. In order for this pencil to become a pencil, somebody has to know how to mine the graphite. Somebody else has to know how to process the wood. Somebody else has to know how to produce the rubber. Somebody else has to know how to manufacture the paint. Somebody else has to know how to put it all together. Somebody else has to know how to market it. Somebody else has to know how to distribute it. Somebody else has to know how to sell it. It took all kinds of people to get that pencil into my hand with all sorts of different levels of talent, all sorts of different places, with the exact same goal to get a pencil to the consumer who needs it. If that many people can work that hard and coordinate that many efforts to be able to get me a pencil, shouldn't we be willing in the Church of Jesus Christ to work equally hard, equally coordinated, to be able to get the gospel to a world that so desperately needs to hear it? Every disciple of Jesus is called to this. Second thing I want you to see. Every disciple of Jesus is expected with gratitude to serve others. Expected with gratitude. What does the text say? It says, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. Now, in those days, a manager, some of your translations may have steward right there, a manager or a steward was a slave that the master had placed in charge of running a particular aspect of either his household or his business operation or something like that. So even though he was a slave, he was in charge of making sure things ran in an efficient fashion. He was a manager of the owner's stuff. Now you know the way this is. You go to a restaurant. In that restaurant, there is a manager, probably a general manager and assistant managers. That manager doesn't own the restaurant. They're not the owner. But they are responsible in that restaurant for making sure that everything gets out the way it is supposed to. They are responsible for taking the stuff that the owner owns and putting it to use so that the owner's wishes are carried out. The company owns the stuff. They're just distributing it. Peter says disciples are to be faithful managers of God's grace. Now, faithful refers to somebody who is counted on to do the right thing in the right way at the right time. They will not give in and they refuse to give up. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't own anything. Everything that you have came down as a gift from Him. James chapter 1, we looked at that passage last week. What does James say? He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shifting shadow. What's God saying? He's saying that every breath that you take, every ability that you have to go out and work and make every dime that you do, every penny that is in your 401k, every square foot that is in your house, every RPM that your vehicle has, every one of those is a gift of God's grace. You're just a manager of what God has given to you. Even your kids, the most precious possession that you have, are not really your possessions. They belong to the Lord. Everything that you have, everything that you are, is to serve the one who owns it all. I have a particular habit. It drives my kids crazy. My wife, having been married to me now for 24 years, has kind of resigned herself that she's locked into it for a while. So she's okay with it. Drives my kids crazy. I'm driving down the road, and men, maybe this is you. I'm driving down the road, and on the right-hand side of the road, I see something laying on the road. And it looks like it might be something of value. And so I try and find a place to pull off, or I try and find a place to turn around. We loop back, and I have to go see what that thing is. Occasionally, I'll find some really good stuff beside the side of the road. Drives my kids crazy. Let me show you one of the best finds that I've ever found. It's right here. This find is a socket set of wrenches, set of sockets, that sort of thing. Over 150 pieces. I'm driving down the road one day on the way to work, and I see this laying over in the grass on the side of the road. So I pull off, I go out, I look inside, I am shocked. Everything is still in it. It's beautiful. I actually feel bad about taking it, so I take it, close it up, set it up on a rock that is sitting right there for everybody to see, because I say somebody's going to come back when they figure out this thing is gone, and they're going to find it. I come back from work that night. It's still sitting there. I still say, I better not take it yet. I go home, spend the night, come back the next day. It's still sitting there. So at that point, I say, it's mine. So I grab it, I take it home, and I have put it to use a whole lot of times. Now, stop and think about it for a minute. It was sitting in the grass beside the road. It was not doing what a socket set was supposed to be doing. Unless somebody saw it, found it, and rescued it, that set would not be used for the purpose that it was made for. Now that socket set is mine. The next time I use it, where do you think it's going to be? It's going to be unscrewing a screw, or it's going to be loosening a bolt, or assembling a swing set, or something like that, right? Because that's my desire and my will for that set. That's where I'll be using it. That's where it belongs. That's where it serves the best. And that's where it pleases me the most. I think a lot of Christians have forgotten how wonderfully and mercifully we were rescued. We've forgotten how much we've been forgiven. Had He not come looking for us, there is no way we would have found Him. He rescued us, redeemed us, filled us with His presence, gifted us for His purpose, and sends us out for His service. The next time He comes, where does He want to find us? He wants to find us doing exactly what He has called us to do. being exactly where he wants us to be, fulfilling the purpose that we were made and saved to do. When Jesus comes again, what's he going to find you doing? What's he going to find me doing? Is he going to find us serving him? Is he going to find us using the gift he's given to build up his body? Some people think the sign of a true Christian is somebody who says, I want to go to heaven. That is not proof that you are born again. People who don't even believe in heaven want to go to heaven. A genuine disciple isn't somebody who says, I want to go to heaven. It's somebody who says, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus not only saved us to be with him when we die, he saved us to be like him while we live. A shortage of servants, a shortage of workers for Christ, that's nothing new. We've got a lot of that going around, but it was going around in Jesus' day too. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 10 too, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. And then he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out workers into his fields. The harvest has never been greater, but the need for faithful workers has never been greater as well. Every disciple of Christ is a servant. Third thing I want you to see, every disciple of Christ is empowered by God to serve others. It says, if anyone speaks, this is verse 11, it should be as someone who speaks God's words. So who gives the words? God gives the words. If anyone serves, it should be from the strength God provides. Where does the strength come from? It comes from God himself, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts run on spiritual fuel. They are the presence of God that need the power of God to be effective. If God is going to be glorified in ministry that is in his name, it must be performed in his strength. Why? So that God gets all the glory. So that you don't look and say, did you see what I did? Wasn't that great? I'm real talented. That's not what it's about. God gets all the glory from this. Look at the last part of verse 11. So that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Do you remember the last night of Jesus' life when he was crucified? If anybody had the ability at that point to feel sorry for himself, it would have been Jesus on that night. He knew what he was facing. He was facing a horrific, painful, physical death, but that's just a fraction of what he was facing. He was facing the sin debt of all who had been and all who would come, and it was going to be placed on him. On the cross, he was going to become sin for us. He was about to bear the full cup of God's wrath for that sin. The weight of that is unimaginable for us to understand. But just hours before his crucifixion, John chapter 13, what's Jesus doing? He's washing his disciples' feet. Each and every one of them. He was serving them. Jesus had power over nature, power over disease, power over demons, power over death, power over all things that are seen and all things that are unseen. Jesus literally was the most powerful person on the planet. And yet he stooped to serve. Do you know why? Because he fully and completely loved those disciples. And he was showing that love through his service. See, there's a difference between serving out of desire and devotion or serving out of duty. How do you keep serving when life gets crazy and people don't even notice? Maybe they don't even care. Service has to flow out of love, or it's going to become a chore that wears you out and tempts you to give it up. When we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we will love our neighbors as ourselves and serve them with what we've got. We become the body of Christ. We become the hands and feet of Jesus. We serve in Christ-like service that flows out of love. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you are equipped, expected, and empowered to serve for the glory of God and the growth of His kingdom. You say, Pastor Tim, I'm sold. How do I sign up? That's great. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do what we've talked about a couple of times already. I want you to email me at tim@fiveforks.org and say, Pastor Tim, I want to get involved in what God is doing through Five Forks Baptist Church, and we would love to plug you in. That'll start a conversation. We're not signing you up for something, so you don't email me and then I email you back and say, okay, you're serving in nursery next week. That's not how it works. You email me and that starts a conversation where we're going to find out how God has gifted you and how you can plug in to what He wants to do through your life. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. We are a nation, and especially this Simpsonville area, is consumed with your health, going to the gym, taking vitamins, pumping iron, CrossFit, all that sort of thing. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. What matters most is not how long you live. It is how you live. It is not the duration of your life that is important. It's the donation of your life that's important. You know what God's looking for in a church? He's looking for servants. Somebody once asked Leonard Bernstein, the late New York Symphony conductor, what is the most difficult position in the orchestra to play? Without hesitation, he immediately answered. He said, second chair violin. They said, why is that? Is second chair violin harder than playing the piccolo or the bassoon or something like that? He said, no, it's not tougher. It's just everybody wants to be first chair violin. Y'all, people that want to be a leader are a dime a dozen. People that want to be servants are rare indeed. Would you say today, in your own heart, here I am, Lord, I'm at your service. Are you a disciple of Jesus? One of the definitive characteristics is the heart of a servant. Disciples serve. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Today, just in the stillness of this moment, maybe you're in your living room, maybe you're in your kitchen, your bedroom, I don't know where you are, but wherever you are, maybe God is touching your life for the very first time today with an awareness that you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If that's the case, I have good news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His wonderful love and mercy, left heaven, came to this planet in the form of a baby boy, lived a perfect life, died a death that sinners deserve, but He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave on the third day, and by placing your faith and trust in Jesus, He has promised you heaven and a little bit of heaven while you are down here on earth. So in just a moment, I am going to ask you if you're ready to accept that free gift. If you'd like to know Jesus today, you can come to faith in Jesus by simply calling on His name. The Bible says it like this: whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's not me promising you. That's Him promising you. So if you're ready today to trust Jesus as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you to pray. You can just repeat this prayer after me. You can say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from you. I know you died on the cross for my sin and proved you were God by rising from the grave on the third day. I now ask you to forgive me of my sin and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Help me to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen." If you didn't know Jesus and you just prayed that prayer, you meant it in your heart, congratulations. You have become a brand new person in Jesus. I want to celebrate with you and share with you some of what God wants to do in your life now. So I want to encourage you to email me, tim@fiveforks.org, and I would love to share with you what God wants to do in your life. And I also just want to celebrate with you all the great things he's already done through salvation. Now, maybe you're already a believer in Jesus, but you say, "You know what, Pastor Tim, I'm not serving the way I ought to." Then I want to encourage you, if you're a member of Five Forks Baptist Church, I want to encourage you to let me know that you are ready for service, and it would be our pleasure to plug you in and to see how you serve at Five Forks Baptist Church. If you're not a member, but you're an attender at Five Forks Baptist Church, membership is the gateway to ministry here. So I want to encourage you, sign up for our next My Next class. You can email me for that as well and just say, "Pastor Tim, I want to sign up for the next My Next at Five Forks class," and we would be happy to share with you how you can become a member at Five Forks Baptist Church. If you're watching today and you're a member of another church, let me encourage you, get involved in service in the church you're in. God will be glorified through your life and you will be such a blessing to that body of believers. Get involved and see what God does in your life. Thanks so much for joining us today. Let me take a moment and close us in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word that so powerfully speaks to not just how we get to heaven, but how we serve you on earth while we are here. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who, when you come again, find us busy and active serving you so that you can get glory from our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, folks. We were glad to have you with us.